Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. And for those who are joining us online as well, we are excited this morning. We are starting a new series called How We Live. And it's my privilege to talk about discipleship this morning. And it's going to be coming from the key text in Luke 9, verse 23. And I'm going to dive straight into it because this morning it's such a weighty subject because you most of the times feel like you are, and I know I am falling short of that, but luckily I had such a great quote this week where it's from Charles Spurgeon that says that we are great sinners, but we have a greater Savior. And that's why we need Him. But discipleship is the following, and I'll explain a little bit more. In Luke 9:23 it says, "Then He said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me.'" The question is, what does it mean to be the disciple of Jesus this morning? You see, we are called Christians because of historical context. Romans called the people that followed Jesus Christians. But this morning, to be a disciple is being taught to follow Christ first of all, and then being taught by Him, being trained up by Him. And a disciple is someone who learns, who obeys, and wants to become more like Jesus. And then also follow wherever He leads. So this morning Jesus says, if you want to follow me, Eddie, if you want to follow me, Fred, if you want to follow me, Johan, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. What's the one thing in your life every single day you have to pick up? And doesn't matter whether it is heavy or not, there's grace and mercy for you and me to walk with that cross. Why? Because He walked with the cross on His back. He picked up what He needed to do to fulfill the purpose that He was sent for, and that's to die for our sins and raise up from the dead so that we can stand in victory and have everlasting life. Amen? And so that's who we follow this morning. But Jesus didn't make it ambiguous for the disciples. He says, listen, if you really want to follow me, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to make hard decisions. It's going to cost you to learn some things from me. Allow me to teach you. It's going to allow, you're going to have to be allowed to be disciplined. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 that God disciplines whom He loves, which is translated, He trains up those whom He loves. It's a training moment. So whenever you feel like you're going through something that's difficult or hard, and it feels like you've made a mistake, first of all, His mercy is great. His forgiveness is available. But it's a training moment for you and me to be more mature and become more like Jesus. That's discipleship. And so the cost this morning and the requirements are a surrender, a sacrifice, and a commitment from our side. Why? Because He did it. And it's not meeting each other halfway. Okay, Jesus didn't meet us halfway, went all the way. And so we have to make a decision where we go all the way. I know this word discipleship means something totally different for some of you that have been in church for a very long time. because you might have been discipled by somebody. Okay? That means you've been walking with somebody that's more mature in faith, that you could bounce things off and walk in relationships. But in the process, people also got hurt in those relationships. I trust that God would heal that in your heart this morning and restore and give you a new view of that. But we need to understand that as we are His disciples, as we lay down our lives, He will lead us to a place where we experience His freedom, His purpose, and experience the transforming power of His love. So, the words disciple and discipline are connected, as I said. But a disciple doesn't grow accidentally. Okay? You don't just stumble upon moments in your life where you need to grow up. It's God that allows it for us to intentionally mature. As James says, so that you may be complete, lacking nothing. So Paul writes, he says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, train yourself to be godly. Again, it's not about counting what can I give. It's not about what am I bringing to the table, and look, Jesus, this is what I'm offering up to you. Surely there must be some repayment for this. It's none of that. No. He who keeps his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will find it. See, a disciple says, I will surrender. And I'm not counting what I'm losing. I'm looking forward what I gain in Christ. That's what a disciple is about. And when it comes to discipline, it's about disciplining ourselves to grow. It's not about knowledge. It's not about how many scriptures we quote. Yes, in the days when the Jews walked around, they had a rabbi and they had to know the scripture off by heart. And yes, that's a very good habit to have. And we'll talk about the four habits of a disciple in these coming weeks on how we need to live. But it's about the relationship first. It's about being connected with Him. It's about that divine connection, as we spoke in the beginning of the year. But He says, if you want to be like Him, you're going to have to do the following, as Colossians 3 verse 9 to 10 says. You have to put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of Christ. You see, your process in your walk with Jesus involves Holy Spirit. And when Holy Spirit gets involved, He's continuously, the Bible says, working on us. That's our sanctification process. See, holiness means set apart. But you don't just get put to one side. It's a process of walking it out. This is such a difficult word for me this morning to bring, because I'm feeling like you are right there, uncomfortable. Because I know there's things in my life that aren't always right. But that doesn't disqualify us. Remember what I said in the beginning. We have a greater Savior. See, our focus is so tuned into what am I doing wrong. It should be, Jesus, what are you saying? And make me better. Because see, if I'm saying, what am I doing wrong? I'm making it about me. I'm making it about what I need to do right. And it's about works. Where instead it's about, You're not saved by works. You're saved by what? By grace. So Jesus, bring your grace so that I can be better. Help me to understand your grace for my life so that I can be better. So I can grow. So I can love like you love. So I can forgive like you forgive. Because otherwise, I sit with stuff. Discipleship is not about perfection. It's about daily obedience. But then a mark of a disciple is our cross-bearing moments. In Luke 14:27, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It's a tough one. It's a choice we have to face every single day. It says, listen, it's going to be hard, but it's not impossible. In the first century, the cross was a symbol of death. When Jesus spoke of carrying a cross, everybody understood what he meant. And a man carrying a cross had surrendered his own will. Cross-bearing is not merely enduring difficulties or facing challenges. Cross-bearing means I'm choosing God's will over my own. When Jesus said, let your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I'm not choosing myself and what I want. Because when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. So who are we to follow our own will at times? And yet we do, don't we? Yet we think we know how to figure out this life. We think we have all the knowledge in the world to figure out what's life about. And yes, agreed, there's wisdom as we grow and mature and grow older. But we never stop learning. We never stop surrendering. We never graduate that. Because God's heart for us is to continuously fulfill his purpose. But the moment we stop surrendering, the moment we stop putting our will behind us and let his will work through us, we will stop short of what he's called us to do. So what does this mean when we say we are cross-bearing disciples? It says, Lord, your plans are above my plans. Your purpose are above my comfort. We love comfort, don't we? That's why the rich man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He says, go and sell everything. Because it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Because the rich man's heart attitude was so invested in his possessions and what he had that he walked away so disappointed because he didn't have the heart to lay down. In fact, what he would have gained was so much more than what he had. Yet the Bible calls him a rich young man. And so Paul describes this, and he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. The cross is where the self, the soul needs to die, and where Christ reigns. A disciple is someone who constantly asks, am I following Jesus? Or am I asking Jesus to follow me? Must the word fit into my life, or am I fitting my life into what the word says? It's a challenge, isn't it? So many times I would pray and would say and trust God for something, and say, God, I'm trusting you for this. But then, or I've got a specific picture of how something should be. And it must come in a specific package. And it must be delivered in a certain way. And then God does something totally different. Not my will. Cross-bearing is a daily commitment. Every day we face a choice. Every day we will have to choose whether we live for ourselves or we live for Christ. Every day we need to choose whether we're going to compromise or we're going to live in obedience. When Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, can we obey? Or are we just going to let it go? Is it faith? Are we going to choose faith? Man, I had such a week. But it was an incredible week. Yet it was so busy, but it was so fulfilling. For those of the men that was here, we had Alvain speaking to us. We have recorded it, so if you missed that evening, we'll put it up on YouTube. But right after that, for my Paul, I met Paul, I think 2 years ago, Paul, and Paul. Me and Paul have been praying every Friday morning, Paul. And his wife has battled with cancer for the last 2 years, and she lost her life on Thursday morning. But Grant and myself had such a privilege of praying with her, and how she fought right till the end. But you know what was beautiful? The whole community of believers who they connected with were there. Suddenly I see Tian walking in with a bag, dropping it off for Paul. Then I see somebody else coming in, and then I get a text saying, guys, I'm hungry, can you organize us some food? And I need eye drops, and then we all rush. It's 1:30 in the morning, and I bring McDonald's for Paul, and here Nielis comes in with the eye drops. And then I saw the white Corolla coming past, and here's Grant Gerber coming around. Because somehow he knows about everything. But it was a beautiful moment just to share in community and to stand with someone. So Paul, our heartfelt condolences to you and the family. And we trust that we celebrate our life. And one thing we know is that there is a man and his wife that is now with Jesus that picked up that cross and walked with something every single day. It was difficult, but they had to choose. Right till the end, they chose to expect a miracle regardless. But the miracle is she is with Jesus. The greatest miracle in life is what the Bible says is salvation, which brings us into everlasting life. Amen? So, whenever we have problems, whenever we face things, just think about that. We have to be there for one another, walk, and trust God regardless of the outcome. He still remains good. We need to choose humility over pride. Holiness over convenience. Holiness means to be set apart, but to become holy is a process, as I said. That's the sanctification. But sometimes it's convenient to choose the easy way out. I'm guilty of that. Discipleship is not an event, it's a journey. So Jesus is asking us this morning, do you know what it will cost to follow me? Do you understand who I am, what you will gain when you follow me? That's the difference between counting the cost and weighing the cost. Because counting the cost, what will it cost me, weighing the cost, is Jesus worth following? Ask that question this morning for yourself. Is he worth following? Of course he is. Until it gets tough. Let that hang for a second. You know what? As I said, discipleship's not an event, it's a lifestyle that we live. We don't do Jesus on Sundays, we do him every day. We follow him every day of the week. Each morning we have an opportunity to pick up our cross and follow him. But then there's four habits I want to quickly share that we're going to look at in the next coming weeks. That is the characteristics that a disciple of Jesus practices. And let's get practical about it. A disciple cannot carry the cross healthily and consistently without these habits. It's time in God's word, it's prayer, giving, and fellowship. And when these habits become part of our lives, it strengthens our walk with Christ. So let's look at the first one, time with God. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Our first commitment as disciples is to be committed to God's word. Our commitment in God's word is not to be hearers of the word only, as James says, but be doers of the word. We cannot hear today and not practice and put it into practice. And sometimes it takes a bit of grind to work out what that word is. Sometimes it's figuring out and wrestling with God. What are you saying to me? Why did you give me this scripture? What does it mean when you say it's no longer I that live, but Christ? How is Christ in me? It says when I give my life over to Christ, I open up the door so that everything of who he is can come and live within me, so that I am totally enveloped and surrounded. And in Christ, there's something about Christ that's been developed in me, so that by the end of my journey, what I represent is him. And every day, as I become more sanctified by him, there's something about Jesus that people see in your life and my life. But that's if we stay surrendered. If we spend time in the word. People say, how does God speak? Through his word. You've got to stay in the word. Psalms 119, verse 105, you've heard it. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Without God's word, we can become spiritually vulnerable and weak. So we need to stay in God's word. God's word guides us, it corrects us, it encourages us, and it has the power to transform us. Jesus challenges the Pharisees in Mark 12:24, and he says, you know the scripture, but you do not understand the power of the scripture. Do you understand the power of God's word when you speak it? When you say and you pray, Romans 8:28-29, it says, all things work for the good. Is it a nice prayer? Do we really believe it? Like Jesus, the situation is not favorable, but you said, because I love you and you love me, you're going to turn this around for me. What does that look like? How am I going to walk it out? Then God says, all right, first let's work on the attitude. Right. You're now going to go and love that person or go and forgive that person. Really? Yeah, okay. But I take up your cross. Go have the conversation. A disciple doesn't merely own a Bible. A disciple reads it, studies it, believes it, and obeys it. When we spend daily time in Scripture, God renews our minds and shapes our hearts and changes the way that we live. Romans 12 verse 1. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may present the perfect will of God. Then the second thing is prayer. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish for and it will be done for you according to my will, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John 15:7-8. Jesus modeled throughout his earthly ministry that even when facing the cross, he prayed. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will, yours be done. Luke 22:42. That's a heart of a disciple. That's a yielded heart. A prayer is not about convincing God to do our will. A prayer is about surrendering ourselves to His will. A disciple prays because they know they cannot carry their cross on their own. And in their own strength, they need God's power every day. Third thing is about giving. Yes, it's about money, but it's also about time. It's also about being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about tithing right now and law and what you do and shouldn't do and, oh, the church wants my money again. It's not about that. It's about having God's generous heart. And it says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is not about the amount, it's about the condition of our hearts. Matthew 6:21 says, for where the treasure is, there your heart will also be. So the clearest way to demonstrate that Christ has first place in our lives is through our generosity. When we give and we acknowledge that everything we have ultimately belongs to God, we show that we are merely but stewards of His blessing. So notice Paul's instruction in that scripture in 2 Corinthians 9. He says, what giving is not supposed to be, reluctant, force, driven by guilt, done merely out of obligation. Instead, it should flow from a heart that is transformed by the love and grace of God. A disciple does not ask, what is the minimum I have to give? A disciple asks, Lord, what have you purposed in my heart to give? Because that will be the greatest example of God's generosity. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which he was rich, yet for the sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. The cross is the ultimate act of giving, and Jesus gave his life for us. So therefore, when we pick up our cross, we become people who hold our possessions loosely and give generously. Giving our worship, giving our trust, giving our surrender. And giving is a declaration that Jesus is Lord over every area of our lives. And then the last one is fellowship. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Christianity is never meant to be lived in isolation. It's meant to live in a fellowship of believers. And we've spoken about that in our previous series. God's designed us to grow together, but we need one another's encouragement, prayers, wisdom, accountability, and support. The early church understood this in Acts 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. My mond is amper klaar. It says, fellowship is more than attending church. It's sharing life together. It's loving one another. It's bearing one another's burdens. It's encouraging one another to remain faithful to Christ. When the world sees genuine Christians love one another, they see the evidence of true discipleship. So in conclusion, I've got this question that I ask myself and all of us. Will we pick up our cross? Jesus never asked for admirers. He never asked for subscribers or likes or followers. He's not interested in the Instagram story. He called disciples. He didn't ask, what was your background? He didn't care where Matthew came from, whether Peter had anger or not. He looked him in the eyes and he said, follow me. And that's what Jesus is saying to us this morning. Will you follow me? And I know a lot of us are Christians here. Some of us are new in the faith, and some of us have been following him for a long time in our faith. But it's a fresh call on all of our lives. Will we follow him? Will we do his will wherever we go? And have the ear to hear and the eye to see. He never promised a life of comfort. Okay? Although we really want comfort. It's not comfortable. Okay? He promised a life of purpose. And his invitation remains the same today. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. So the question is not whether Jesus carried his cross. We know he did. The question is, can we carry ours? Will we surrender our plans? Will we trust him with our future? Although not everything is in place, will we put him first in our lives, our prayers, our giving, our relationships? Will we follow him wherever he leads? So, if you are there, I'm there, afresh in my heart this morning, where I say, Lord, I am very willing to follow you. I want to follow you with everything in me, but I don't know if I'm going to get it right. Please help me. Please, can I have your grace? Because I'm only a human being. And I so want to follow Jesus, but sometimes I make the mistakes. Sometimes I do walk with unforgiveness. Sometimes I do walk with certain issues and problems I don't necessarily want to deal with right now. Sometimes I do not display Christ. But then, luckily, I am reminded that I can repent and have his forgiveness and move on and go sin no more. So this morning, I want to encourage you this morning. What will you choose when Jesus looks you in the eye and he says, follow me? Not follow the church, but follow the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not the gospel of the church, it's the gospel of the kingdom. We're not here to have church for the sake of it. We're here because we follow Jesus. Amen? And this morning we have the privilege of having communion. And this is the ultimate example of Christ giving his life over to us, dying for us, raising from the dead, so that we can be reminded that he paid it all. What should have been our price, he paid it. He is a just God. He is also a good God. But what just means is the law was fulfilled through him. The requirement was met. The fact is that he stood in our place where we should have fulfilled that, he did. Where we deserved death, he died, but he rose again. Amen. So this morning I want to pray for us. And then after that we can come and partake of communion. And we have one baptism this morning. But I trust this morning that you will respond to him. And so, Father, this morning we come humbly before you, and we want to recognize that as Romans 3:23 says to us, that we all fall short of the glory of God. But we are reminded that your word says in Ephesians 2 verse 8 that we have not been saved by works, but we've been saved by grace. And this morning, Jesus, you paid it all. And you said when we take communion, we must remember you. And this morning we want to remember the ultimate price that you've paid so that we can have everlasting life, so that we can be reconciled back to the Father and have relationship. So we can be reminded that we are disciples of you. We are Christ followers. And because we follow you, as you lay down your life for us, I sincerely ask this morning, as we sit here as a congregation, as a family and online, pray this morning that you will so help us, Holy Spirit, to lay down our lives, our will, our minds and emotions and things we want, so that we can do what you want to accomplish and do here on earth through our lives. We want to give you glory and honor and praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.